Blog Talk Radio.
Time in the basement with Javon. I hope you all had a great week. I personally had a very stressful week, but I always look forward to Saturdays and spending a little time with you. Today, as you may know, we have a very, very special guest, Mr. Jesse Daniels of the Force MDs. They were also called at one point the Force MCs. These guys back in the day, man, amazing, amazing vocals. I first heard of them and saw them on the Staten Island Ferry back in the 80s before they had made it big. Jesse probably doesn't remember me from then, but I had a little girlfriend who lived out in Staten Island, and we used to ride the ferry, you know, whatever, and they'd be out there singing, and then typically I saw them in the park. Washington Square Park, which is where all us children used to hang out. And they used to be singing and doing their thing, perfect harmony, perfect pitch. And then eventually they rose to superstardom. And Jesse will be coming on a little later on in the show to tell us what that was like for him. Also, I am super duper thrilled that one of my friends, I actually live vicariously through her stories. I love her stories. Her name is Wanda Tidline, and she is the booking agent to the stars and has such an amazing story. You know, sometimes when you're a kid or, you know, just as a young person, you have, I don't know, like musical idols or people that you look up to, and you never imagine that one day you'll know them. And you know, it could have been a dream of hers, I don't even know, but I know some of the people that I've been fortunate enough to sit across the table with, it's like dreams coming true. You know, even just having a radio show and talking to you and doing this, what I'm doing right now, it's like a dream come true. It's amazing. So I just want to put it out there that it's never too late, and anything that you want to do, you can do. The first thing to do is figure out what it is that you want to do. Then make a move, you know. One of the people that I actually every now and then have sort of inbox conversations with is Dawn Robinson, formerly of En Vogue. And one of my favorite songs by her actually is not an En Vogue song at all. It is something that she did with another one of my favorite artists, Mr. Raphael Sadiq, and they had formed a group called Lucy Pearl, and this is my favorite song by them, so check it out. Let's get it started.
I wanna dance tonight. I wanna show tonight. I'll spend my money tonight.
I love that jam. I love that jam. Right now, we're going to go to Nathan James so he can let us know what's going on.
Right on.
And now, what's going on with Nathan James?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nathan James, and here's what's going on. The rainbow is in the air at the Miami Beach Gay Pride Festival and Concert, which is ongoing right now all weekend in Miami Beach. The Gay Pride Parade, which starts on Ocean Drive from 7th Street to 15th Street at noon tomorrow, features Gloria Estefan and Kenny Ortega as the Grand Marshals and includes concerts, beach parties, the high heel race, and festivals all up and down the Ocean Beach Strip. The beach party, which is at Loomis Park and 7th Street, features all kinds of events which everyone can come in and participate, and the Latin stage, which begins at 1 o'clock tomorrow, features Lola Lotus, Katiana Davenport Rouge, Teresa La Caliente, Rosette Enchanted, Jose Vega, Raleigh Villaverde, Ruperta Marucha de Cuba, Allison Thomas, Maltrini, Alexis Fernandez, and so many more. Recording artists include Lady M, Jay Singer, Oba Frank Lords, Bruno Levi, and Xylene. In other news, the University of Massachusetts made history this week as one of its basketball players became the first openly gay Division I basketball player. Derek Gordon, a sophomore shooting guard, came out of the closet on Wednesday and revolutionized sports in the NCAA. He told his team and family he was gay on April 2nd and publicly announced his sexual orientation the next day. He just didn't want to hide in the closet anymore, he said. I didn't want to have to lie or sneak. I've been waiting and watching these last few months, wondering when a Division I player would come out, and finally I just said, why not me? Gordon says he was inspired by the examples of NFL draft prospect Michael Sam, who played with Mizzou before coming out in February, and Brooklyn Nets center Jason Collins, who was the first active NBA player to come out of the closet last year. Wade Davis, the director of the You Can Play Project, encouraged Gordon to come out as he had sessions with the young sophomore player over the past year. In further news, history is on the verge of being made at Carnegie Hall, where violinist and vocalist Tona Brown will become the first transgender African-American woman to perform at that venue. The Indiegogo campaign, which has been organized by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, has almost reached its $3,766 goal, which will make the event possible. You can join the campaign by giving to www.indiegogo.com/projects/help-get-Tona-Brown to Carnegie Hall. I'm Nathan James, and that's what's going on.
Thank you, Nathan. And now we're going to play a song. Oh, Nathan, you might want to hang out, as usual, or call back to speak to Wanda Titline or Jesse Daniels from Force MDs.
Yes, thank you very much, and I just want to say I am looking forward so much to returning home to New York City on Wednesday and seeing you and all of my friends that I've missed for so long.
Well, we missed you too, Nathan, so just hang out.
Okay, thank you.
Right now I want to play a song called Inside My Love. Originally, Minnie Richardson.
Just waiting, barely touching.
Yes, that's Gloria Ryan, Inside My Love. That song was originally done by Minnie Riperton, and not many people can hit that note in the same way that Gloria and Miss Riperton had done it. So kudos. And if you want to purchase that or any of Gloria's music, go to Bandcamp.com. Gloria Ryan at Bandcamp.com. Right now, we're waiting for Mika Ray. I don't know where she went, but we're going to play some more sexy music until she makes it. So right now, I'm going to play a song by none other than Miss Karen Wheeler, who was with us a couple of weeks ago. And, this song. Let's see.
And now,
Mika? Mika? Mika?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, good. I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, we're doing good. We're doing great today. So how you doing, sweetheart?
I am doing well, well, well. Thank you very much.
Great. So tell us, what is on the menu today? How do we get to the G-spot?
Today I wanted to talk a little bit about open relationships. You know, there are many types. You have swinging, you have threesomes, foursomes, which is really kind of fall under the swinging umbrella, and then you have polyamory, where you are deciding to bring someone into your relationship and actually make that person a part of your relationship, or more than one person a part of your relationship. And you have those where you just say, you know, we want open relationships and we're just going to sleep with different people outside. So no one's actually being brought in the home together. They're just, you know, deciding that you can go have sex with whoever you want to. I can go have sex with whoever I want to, and we're going to be together still. And I feel like everyone makes it work for themselves. If you're interested in an open relationship, I don't say it's a bad thing. I don't say it's a good thing. I say it's a part of your relationship makeup if that's what you decide to do. I just feel like there's some stuff that you need to take that can make it a little easier if you are going to participate in that. So some of the things are you want to make sure you put it out there, because any other way you are just cheating. If you're not telling people about it, you're just cheating. If you're not, you haven't talked about it, you haven't made it a rule in a relationship that we are going to have an open relationship, then you're just cheating. So you talk about it, put it out there, come to some type of agreement. Then you need to set some ground rules. What are going to be the rules in this open relationship? What are you going to do? Do I have to tell you every time I go out and sleep with somebody else? Is it okay if I'm in a relationship with someone else, or you just want me to have sex with the person? You know, what are the rules to this open relationship? If things start changing and you feel like your feelings are changing and you no longer want to be a part of it, then speak up about it. Don't be afraid to make adjustments if needed. Sometimes you may have to change a rule or tweak a rule here and there. Create some type of boundaries when it comes to this open relationship. Do you want all the details? Do you want to know the time, the place, location? Do you want to know that I left the house at 5 o'clock and every day I leave at 5 o'clock and I'm going to sleep with this person? You know, what are your boundaries? Take it one step at a time. So you start out kind of slow in whichever way you decide to do it. Don't cheat. You can still cheat in a non-monogamous relationship because you're cheating by breaking any of the rules that you set for yourself. If you're finding yourself falling in love with the person that you're with, then be open and honest with your partner that you're living with that, you know, you're starting to fall in love. And, you no longer want to engage in this open relationship. You just kind of want to be with the other person exclusive. The last thing is don't force the issue. If it's something that's not working for both of you, don't force it. Just let it go. You don't have to have an open relationship. Some people choose to do it for certain reasons, but it's not a necessary thing. I've had a few people that I've talked to who are in open relationships, and they just say, you know, they choose to be in it because they feel like it helps make their relationship work better. It makes it more stable. So if you don't have a real reason to do it, I mean, just don't do it. What's the point? You might as well just be single. But those are my thoughts on open relationships. I just kind of wanted to get it out there. Do you have any thoughts, Javon?
Do I have any thoughts about it? I Well,
yeah.
I think that what works for individuals in their relationship is 100% up to them. I think that, like you said, it's important to be honest. But I also think that sometimes people think they want an open relationship because they see other things that they want to get into, and then they, you know, I don't know. As I was listening to you, I was wondering if that could be, in some instances, a fix for lesbian deathbed syndrome, where people invite someone new into the relationship to spark it up, and for that reason only. But then again, that could cause a problem, depending on, I mean, you know, when you talk about women, you know, everybody's very sensitive. And I don't mean to be offensive. This is why I try to leave the conversation, this particular conversation, to you, Mika, because my ideas are kind of old-fashioned maybe and set in some prehistoric kind of way. But, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I do think that, okay, I have two thoughts on something that you spoke about. The first thing is, I think some people think they want it, like you said, and then when the reality hits them, it's like they have it. Like, you know, when you say, I want a threesome. The imagination, sometimes the imagination is better than the actual act, because by the time you have it, you have to think about, do you want to touch this person? Do you want to really perform oral sex? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? You have so many thoughts going through your head. So when the actual act happens, it's like, it wasn't what I thought it was. But I think it's more so the culture of the person. If that's in the couple that are deciding to do that, if it's something that they've believed in from the beginning, I think that works for them. As it relates to the lesbian deathbed, I do think that if you're willing to try it, that it may help bring the spark back, but will that create a dependency on the actual act? Like, will it create, like, I'm not going to be sexually aroused unless I have another person in the bedroom with us? So it's a lot of things that you have to think about. There are a lot of things that you have to think about when it comes to introducing another person in the bedroom, whether it's you going off and doing it yourself, or whether you just bring them into the home and they're there at your disposal for you two to have sex with. Because so many things can happen. One partner can fall in love with the person, you know, and then they may go off and start sleeping with each other outside of the relationship. And you just, or you can, like I said before, create that little dependency on, well, we're not going to be sexually aroused, or we're not going to have sex unless there's someone else in the bedroom. And I think that's not always the healthiest place to be in, because sometimes you lose sexual desire for each other because of an underlying issue. You know, it could be something deeper than just the sexual arousal.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep it's a pretty deep discussion. I see that there's a lot of people who have called in, but no one else is daring enough to press one to speak on this issue. If you want to speak on this issue, the number to call in is 347-826-7536. That's 347-826-7536. And you have to press 1 in order to be heard. If you want to speak, you got to press 1. Mika, you know, I think that it is the type of conversation that we should continue to speak about. Because I think, you know, there may be partners where one person wants to indulge in this sort of thing, and then other people, you know, the other partner may want to but may not be able to, or is afraid to discuss it. you know? So I think it's really important. And we should talk about it again.
Well, we can talk about it again. I love to.
Exactly. I have some people coming on the show today that you may want to speak with, Mika. My friend Wanda Titline is on the line right now. Hold it on. She's going to talk to us about making dreams a reality. And then later on in the show, we have Jesse Daniels of the Force MDs. I don't know what you know about that, Mika, because you're pretty young. But
I love the Force MDs.
Do you? Okay. So cool. I want you to hold on and hang out. And, you know, as always, we'll get back to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for that wonderful topic. We got to talk more about that. All right, sweetie, hold on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce you to my next guest, I want to play a song, yet another song by Karen Wheeler, who was a guest on the show, and the last song was Sexy and Upbeat, and this is a new song. It's not been released yet. It's sort of exclusive to our show, I believe, and it's a baby maker, I'm trying to tell you. So just hold on and check out Whatever It Takes by Karen Wheeler.
Hey!
And that's Whatever It Takes by Karen Wheeler. According to Mika Ray, it might take one or two extra people. I don't know. But anyway, right now I want to introduce to you somebody who's actually very special and inspirational to me. I don't know if she knows just how inspirational she is to me. She is just, you know, cool, down to earth. We met through mutual friends, and her story is just amazing. How she has become the booking agent to the stars is what I like to call her, but she's just cool people, and she shares her knowledge generously. So I would like to introduce everyone, and she has an interesting life. I just want to wrap myself up, fold myself up, put myself in her suitcase, and pop up out every now and then and see where we ended up, because she's just, I don't know, just living life, you know, fully. And her name is Wanda Tidline.
Good morning, hey. Javon.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, you know, it's a little early for me. Saturday is my sleep late day, but I said, no, Javon, you know, wanted me to do this. And, you know, I put it this way. I said, this is the first in a series of high-profile interviews that I'll be doing. That's how I look at my life. I visualize what I want it to be. So this is the start.
Wow.
You know, interviews, okay, great. You know, you don't mind talking to people. So in the line of before you get to the Tonight Show, this is where you'll be. You're started in the morning with Javon.
Yes, yes. And I'm 100% with that. So, you know, if I'm the beginning of something magnanimous like that, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yep, sounds good to me. And you started it off with a song that's been a favorite of mine that we recorded some years ago with Karen and the fabulous Dinky Bingham, the male voice you hear. He was a former lead singer of the Jamaica Boys. And
uh-huh.
Father of Yummy Bingham, and, you know, he and Karen did that song one night. It came together very quickly in a couple of takes, and he's a great producer, but I love that song. And I, you know, still, you know, Karen's manager, but we did that very early in our, you know, artist-manager relationship with my partner, Evan Krause. I mean, that was one of many songs that I hope people get to hear that, you know, Karen made, you know, early in our management relationship. But that's a great song.
Oh my God, I love
always
that song
that.
So the when she sent me a couple of songs, you know, so I could sample them and for my listening
mm-hmm.
audience, you know,
mm-hmm.
that song is a hit. And I know
yeah,
I've been bugging
absolutely.
Her. I've been bugging her to put it out, you know, every now and then I'll like send her an email, Karen, the people want to hear it. You have to release it. Even if you put it on an EP, I mean, that song is a baby maker.
Yeah, that's a great song. And then, you know, because Karen's style of R&B singing, it's different than, you know, most singers in America because she's not American. Of course, she was influenced by American singers. Most British singers were influenced by American music, coming up as they learned how to sing, because of course they don't sing how they speak, but
right.
because they have other influences because of the culture in Britain, you know, African influences, Caribbean influences, because most of them, you know, are byproducts of, you know, their Caribbean parentage, because they're like first generation, you know, British people. So they have all those influences from the Caribbean. So that's why their soul is a little bit, you know, different than ours. So when she sang this kind of slow jam, it's more of an American flavored sort of. So she was a little bit afraid of it. I was like, no, Karen, you know, you're a bad singer. It doesn't even bad as in good bad.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just feel the music and you can do it. And when she did it, I said, see, I told you. And look how, I mean, just incredible. Everybody who heard that song, we played it on the radio over there on a station similar to this. But it wasn't internet radio because that hadn't really come about yet. But they played it on the radio there, and people called in, and they loved it.
Oh, absolutely.
Loved the song, so.
Absolutely. You know, I actually, when she came on the show, I played it, mm-hmm. and people called in. They loved it. You know, people texted
right.
me. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. That
song, that's not even a mixed song. That's just as a rough sort of edit, you know, that they have
yeah.
of it. It's not even mixed. It's just, you know, the demo they did for the song.
Well, that song, it hits me in a particular way. You know, I was telling Karen, I was like, yo, this show better be off soon because, you know, that song was, it was making some noise in my head. I didn't know what I was going to do. It was crazy.
Yeah, and we have even more, you know, more songs we recorded that we know people will love.
Yeah, she actually gave us another song, and I played it before you came on. Living in Your World is more upbeat. But
oh,
it's also,
God, yes. Living in Your World is ridiculous.
I know.
And, like,
I played that one
that,
also.
You know, before I met her, I love Living in Your World. Oh,
exactly.
Another one of my favorites. I mean, Karen has just, you know, a stockpile of songs that would blow people's head back. But we know, you know, as the music business has changed so much, and it's not so much about the quality of the voice, the actual song. It's more about how you look in a video. So it's not about quality in terms of the depth of a song anymore. And unfortunately, when you have songs with integrity, that doesn't count as much.
Right, right.
It's not as easy to get it out there to many people as you would like it to be. But anyway, that's a whole other story. That's a whole other conversation.
Tell the people how you became Karen's manager.
Well, that's also a funny story. I was working for a business manager, Burt Pidell, very powerful business manager in the music business. You know, when I met him, probably for the last 30, 40 years when I met him. And the time I started working for Burt Pidell, Alicia Keys and Britney Spears had just become clients, and that was in January of 1997. So this is a money man, you know, business manager. He's an accountant and a tax attorney. So, you know, he had connections with people like Clive Davis, Donnie Einar, I mean, all the big heads of the record company. So when I worked for him, I was his assistant / A&R person because, you know, he was very frank. He knew nothing about the music. He knew about the money. So he said, I need to have somebody young and of color help because I knew, you know, urban music, and he was a business manager for a lot of urban people at the time, Missy Elliott and Biggie Smalls and all of these people, Puffy, who else, Russell Simmons, you know, just loads of people in that world. So I said, okay, let me start off with the money because the money is the most important link in the music. I mean, the music, you know, is tantamount, of course, but money speaks for everything in the music business. So I was working for him, and I had a meeting with a bass player and another phenomenal singer you should probably have on your show at some point, M. Nadar. And we were talking about singers who we hadn't heard from in a long time. And Karen always comes up in that conversation. So they were like, oh, my God, Karen Will is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. I wonder where she is. And I said that, too. I would love to know where she is. So finished with the meeting. I was going to go meet a friend of mine for dinner, and I was walking down Broadway, and I was right across the street from where David Letterman takes his show. I think it was at the Ed Sullivan Theater. And to the left of me, I was going downtown on Broadway. There used to be a Ferrera coffee shop, and I looked over, and I said, oh, my goodness, that looks like Karen Wheeler. I said, no way in the world. I'm just talking about her an hour ago. I don't even, you know, I'm not thinking she lives in New York. I'm thinking she lives in England. Walking down the street, and I said, that's her. I've got to go say something to her. God put her in my purview because I just brought her name up. And I said, walked over to her, and I said, excuse me, you're Karen Wheeler, aren't you? And she said, you know me, love? I said, of course I do. I said, you wouldn't believe this. I said, but not an hour ago, I was just talking about you. And she said, well, why were you talking about me? I said, well, I was talking to another singer and a musician, and we were talking about great singers who we'd like to know what happened to them. You know, where are they? What are they doing? So I started talking to her. I brought up some songs that not a lot of people would know, some album cuts. And she said, you really do know my music. I said, yes, I do. So we talked for about an hour. I guess she was impressed by what she heard me say. And she gave me her number to her answering service. And I told her what I did, and I told her what I'd like to do. And she said, give me a call, and I did. And then we started having conversations after that. And, you know, 13 years later, September of this year, I would have known her 13 years.
Wow.
You know. So
and
that's
so
how that
the
happened. It was very,
the relationship just,
you know,
bloomed and blossomed, and you became her manager.
Yeah, after a year, you know, I became her manager. I mean, I met her. Actually, no, I'm wrong. I met Karen in September of 2000. So, yeah, I met her in September of 2000. So in this September, it'll be 14 years. Wow, that I've known her. So after the initial meeting in September 2000, it took until probably the next 6, 7, 8 months I became her manager with my partner, Evan Krause. And then in September of 2001, and I said that after I met her on the street and I was going to meet my friend, I said, I met Karen Wheeler within a year. I know I'll be going to England. And then within that year, I went to England.
Wow.
I went to England. And since that time, I think I've been to England 50 times. And I'm thinking before this year's over, I've been once, I'll be going 2 more times, you know, in a couple of weeks, and then in July I'll be there, and then probably next November when Soul to Soul tour. So, yeah, in that time, you know, I've met Karen. She's made a lot of recordings. We've done shows. And then I, you know, was responsible for you reuniting her with Jazzy B and Soul to Soul being back together.
Wow.
And, you know, the both of them always tell me I should be a little more vocal about that. So I'm going to start saying that now. Yes, I was the reason they got back together. And I had been, you know, for lack of a better word, scheming, begging Karen, please, Karen, you know, just as from a fan standpoint, what's the problem? You know, why aren't you and Jazzy talking? You know, Soul to Soul needs to be back together again. This is ridiculous. So finally in 2007, she gave me my wish. She let me call Jazzy B, and then it just worked from there. And they've been together, back together, ever since then.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And that was just from a fans, for their need as a fan, wanting to see them together. So,
you know what? Since you brought up Soul to Soul and Jazzy B, mm-hmm. and we're talking mm-hmm. Karen, and let me just play mm-hmm. Back to Life so everybody can rejoice with us, right?
Hey, absolutely. I always rejoice.
Back to reality. Back to life. Back to reality.
Thank you.
That was Karen Wheeler and Soul to Soul, Back to Life, However Do You Want Me. We have with us today in the basement, Miss Wanda Tidline. She is the manager of Karen Wheeler and a booking agent to the stars. Hey, Wanda.
What's up, Javon? What's up, everybody?
Right now, I'm going to take a call right now. I believe this is a young man who is an up-and-coming artist who wants to give a shout-out and say hello. TJ?
Okay. Hey. Yes, ma'am. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm fine. I called in, you know, not knowing anything, just to call in. Mm-hmm. I haven't mm-hmm. been listening in a couple of weeks. And I overheard, you know, that you're a manager. And I was mm-hmm. trying to find out, like some advice, like what would you say to up-and-coming artists like myself trying to come up in the game?
Well, what I would say to any artist, are you a singer, rapper, what do you do?
I'm an artist.
I would say most of the music that I've heard so far from TJ is more like the rap game, not necessarily a singer per se, right, TJ?
Right.
Well, what I would suggest is for any artist, because we have, you know, social media now. I mean, I've been in the game almost 20 years, and, you know, I've seen so much come about mm-hmm. in terms of technology and ways to, you know, introduce your art to the masses. You know, use mm-hmm. social media as much as possible, but go out and gig, you know, hone your craft, you know, mm-hmm. go out and do open mics. Try to, you know, if you have the funds available, to buy on to some tours, or maybe work on a big artist tour for free if you can, you know, see
okay.
if you can do that. Exposure to the masses, as many people that hear you as possible
okay.
and see you nowadays is the thing that will help you, exposure. You know, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to do a gig and hone your craft and get the people's attention. You want to, the people who buy the talent, the promoters, you want them to mm-hmm. see that you can sell a ticket. You want them to see that you can bring butts into, you know, put butts in the seats. That's what promoters
right.
want to. And then you want
right.
the fans to see how good you are. So exposure,
right.
exposure, exposure. Record deal, that's all well and good. But unfortunately about a record deal, you can get a record deal and never be seen.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
what's happened to a lot of people. You could be signed to a major label or a small label. It doesn't matter. But if they have the power to release or not release your record, there have been many a talented people held up at the fact, you know, at the hands of a record label not putting the product out there. So now, because we have all these forms of exposure with social media, exposure, 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 perform, perform, perform to hone your craft. That's the advice I'd give to any new up and coming artist.
Okay, thank you. But like, you
no,
know,
you're welcome.
In my current situation, I stay in New Orleans, and
mm-hmm.
in my city, it's not even like that. Like, everything you said, I do, you know, but it's like it's a crab in a bucket type city. And social media, like everything dealing with Facebook, Twitter, you know, SoundCloud, whatever it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm up in the thousands with followers.
Well,
you know,
but, you know, unfortunately, as these forms of social media become more popular and everybody knows this is the way that you do it, you know,
right.
it's okay. I think about the situation 20 years ago when we didn't have the social media. It's still, you know, hundreds of thousands of people trying to get record deals, but you have to do
right.
something to set yourself apart, and that's when performing live will help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, performing
yep.
live, having people see you. I mean, another very good friend of mine, somebody whose career in the early stages I helped push along, who is from New Orleans, a very talented
mm-hmm.
singer. You know, you sound like you're a little young. You might not know her, but now her name is Letticy. And she started out doing shows. That's how she built her fan base. And then
mm-hmm.
she got the record deal, like they used to do back in the day. I mean, she sold 100,000 records on her own just out of the trunk of her car just by doing shows and doing them for free. And now she's on the cover of Essence magazine. So,
right.
and that's, what, 13 years later. So you have to start someplace.
Yeah, I've been,
you know,
I've been working on it.
Yeah, so you just have to keep at it. You just have to keep doing it. I mean, I look back out on it now, you know, Letticia and I were sleeping on the floor of somebody's apartment in New York City, and now 13, 14 years later, she's performed at the White House 6 times.
Wow.
You know, the president and Mrs. Obama know her. She's performed for both of their 50th birthday parties. I mean, she's on the cover of Essence magazine. She's performing at
right.
the Essence Music Festival. I mean, you know, she has the legends shouting her name and, you know, saying, we're passing the torch to you. So, it, you know, you just got to work at it. If nothing is going to come easy and overnight. I know people see Wayne and Drake and all these people and thinking it happened overnight. It didn't. Those people have been working at it for years. So you just
put
some time in.
I've been working 10 years, you know, so I never expected it ever come overnight. You know, I do everything
it does.
I could.
Sometimes
yeah,
it does,
20.
But okay.
I'm 20.
So
I've been doing this for 10 years, you know, and
okay.
Like I tell everybody else that like under age of me, and I always tell them like, you know, most of the stuff doesn't come easy because they see me on the social networks with pictures with, you know, Macklemore and Audio Push, all these other great artists that I've met when I done my time in Austin for South by Southwest, and they think I made it, but in reality, no, you know, I networked with them, but at the same time, you know, I know nothing comes easy, and I don't. And if anything comes easy, you really don't want it.
Well,
because
I don't know about that, TJ.
I don't know about that because if it comes easy,
I'll take it. But TJ,
yeah,
I want to thank you so much for calling
that.
Thank
you, TJ.
Yeah,
thank
you
so much. So you mentioned Letticy. Let's talk
mm-hmm.
about that. How did you meet Letticy?
Well, I my very good, you know, one of my best friends in the world, Troy Saunders, who introduced me to you. I think that's how I
yep.
met you.
Hi, Troy. Shout out to
yeah,
Troy Saunders.
He is one of my dear friends and, you know, one of my musical soulmates, and I was at his apartment one day, and then he gave me a CD, and this was in, I think, December of 2000. He said, one, I want you to listen to this singer, and we were pronouncing it Ledisi at the time because he had no idea that it was pronounced Letticy. So he gave me the CD. Put it in my CD player. I was driving back to my house. I was living at Queens at the time. And I stopped my car. I heard a single, Take Time. Stopped my car. You know, had my little ancient cell phone that we had back in those days. And I called him. I said, I had to stop the car and dial and call you. Who the heck is this?
Yeah.
I said, this is incredible. I said, I haven't heard a voice like this probably in 20 years, and I was so dumbfounded, inspired. I can give you so many adjectives to explain how I felt. I felt so full. It reminded me of a jazzy Kimberell. I said she has those qualities, and I said she has the power of Shaka. She had those big kind of notes, and, you know, for that, for me,
yes,
it was just
I
enough. Because,
you know,
Shaka's the ultimate for me. So I called him. I said, you know, where is this girl? Where is she from? And then he said, well, she lives in the Bay Area and blah, blah, blah. So I said, I don't know. Somehow, some way, I'm going to find out if she has a manager. I said, because I need to build my client base, and this girl is incredible. So finally, in February of 2001, another good friend of mine, another musical, you know, associate of mine and friend, Sarah Hill, she had a grassroots sort of presentation she was putting on at SOS. What is that club downtown? SOBs. And she had a little umbrella of a musical showcase she had called Sister Factory, where she was putting on unknown acts. And she said, oh, I've been trying to book Letticy. I have her telephone number. Do you want to speak to her? I said, of course. So I called her on the phone, and I said, hello, Letticy. You know, my name is Wanda Titline. How are you? I just want to let you know how inspired I am by hearing you. You're incredible and blah, 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 blah. And she was, thank you so much. And, you know, where did you hear the music? And I told her about Troy, and she said, oh, well, if you think the record's good, wait till you hear me live. And I said, oh, my goodness, if live is better than the record, I mean, because sometimes you think about, you know, people performing, you want them to be just as good as the record. And, you know, sometimes
right.
more often than not, the act is just as good as the recording. But if she told me she was better than the recording, I'm like, wow, I can't wait to hear you. And we just talked about who our favorite, you know, what our favorite music was and blah, 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 blah. And then she said, I said, what sign are you, by the way? Because I had a feeling because of all the influences I heard in her singing, what sign she might be. And I, she said an Aries. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious, you are. She said, what sign are you? And I said, I'm an Aries. And then we started screaming, and then I said, do you know all the great singers who are Aries? And she really didn't know because, you know, quite younger than me. And
right.
I said, well, my all-time favorite singer, of course, Chaka Khan is an Aries. And Aretha Franklin and Billie Holiday and Diana Ross and Teddy Pendergrass and Stephanie Mill. I just laced her with all the great singers who were Aries. And she said, oh, my God. So we clicked on that level, and then – that was in February, and then in March, you know, Sarah booked her for Sister Factory. So I said, look, don't worry about ground transportation. My partner and myself will come and pick you up from Newark Airport. She said, you will? You don't even know me. I said, let us see. I've been so inspired. And we started talking on the phone a lot after that because we had so much in common musically what we liked. So, you know, we started talking. I said, don't worry about a ride. My partner and I will come pick you up from the airport. Her and her partner, her songwriting partner, Sondra Manning, who's a bad, you know, excuse my French, a badass piano player, just unbelievable, and producer, you know, and songwriter, picked them up from Newark Airport, took them straight to Troy's house in Queens and had a party for them. Sight unseen, didn't know them. It was about 20 people there, and she cried. They couldn't believe it. They said, you guys don't even know us, and you've had a party for us. Food and drinks and stayed up all night partying. And then she did the shows at SOBs and then came back the next day, just her, myself, Troy, and her songwriting partner, had another dinner. And we've been friends with Letta See ever since then, from that moment on. We've
wow.
been friends, and that's 13 years later. And, you know, my partner, Evan Krause, you know, helped her get her first record deal, you know, the record deal that she currently has, and is still her lawyer. I mean, there's just so much stuff has happened. You know, I remember when Letta See wanted to quit the business, and we were laying on her friend's floor, his apartment in New York, and I said, Led, don't worry about it. And she was crying, and she was so upset. She said, I just can't believe it. You know, it's so hard. I said, Led, you are an incredible talent. Don't give up. Believe me, all the greats are going to tell you they love you. You know, people, don't worry. You know, your music will resonate. Don't worry about the plasticness of this business and the superficial stuff with this business of, you know, how – the major labels don't care about quality and talent anymore. All they care about is how you look, you know. What about what you sound like? And I said, don't worry about it. You know, girl, you're going to do it. You know, we're going to be here for you. You're going to support you. You're going to make it. And that's when she, you know, wrote, it's all right. She, you know, it's
yeah.
going to be all right because we were laying on that floor. And I said, don't worry about it. It's just going to take some time. And now, 13 years later, 6 visits to the White House. 7 Grammy nominations, the cover of Essence. You know, you got friends like Chaka Khan and Nat Nicole calling you for your birthday and shouting you out and, you know, saying you're it, and Sidney Poitier telling you, you know, you're great, you're a star. I mean, you know, those are the things, you know. So when I hear young people like, you know, what was his name, TJ?
Yeah, TJ Foy.
Yeah, to hear somebody like him needs to hear that kind of story that, you know,
absolutely.
You just have to be patient if you believe in your talent, you know. And we know how talented Letta See. I mean, an incredible talent. I mean, I personally think she should be bigger than what she is. Her level of success, you know, is not commensurate with the level of talent she has. I mean, you know.
Absolutely. I agree
100%. When she told me the story about, you know, when Martin Luther King's birthday, when Martin Luther King's statue was dedicated down in D.C. and she was there singing with Stevie Wonder, who pulled her up on stage, who absolutely loves her, and Prince, and all these people I can just name. She told me about how backstage, you know, they had limited dressing rooms. And she was in a dressing room, and one of Aretha Franklin's representatives came in and said, look, you know, since you're finished with your part, is it okay if Ms. Franklin comes in? And they were like, she was like, no, please, you know, I'll, you know, get my stuff out and we'll leave. And then Aretha Franklin came in and let us see, went over to her and said, oh, Ms. Franklin, you know, I'm such a great fan. It's an honor to meet you and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know if you know me, I'm a singer. And she was like, yeah, of course I know you. And she started singing her song back to her.
Wow.
And Led was like floored. Her mouth was open like Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, is singing my song back to me.
That's amazing.
You know, I said, Led, you know, I told you this would happen. You can't, you know, a light as bright as yours, no matter, you know, you think about how crazy, you know, the music business is in terms of what they want to push to the front, you know, what they want the public to hear. I said, I don't care if you're not on a major, major label. A light as bright as yours, you can't dim it. There's no way you could suffocate that. You can't,
exactly.
You know, bury that light. You know, the people who can hear will hear. You know, I mean, I remember sending her demo to Clive Davis when I worked for Burt Podell. And Burt Podell was, you know, very good friends with Clive Davis and probably still is. And Burt had the kind of power where he could send out a demo to all of these people and they would listen because they respected his talent and who, you know, who he was associated with, the same kind of people. You know, they all came, they were all in the business at the same time, at the same level. So I remember Clive Davis sending me letters, you know, sending a letter back, Burt's letter back to him saying, Burt, incredible voice, but where are the songs? I was disappointed in that where the songs think comment by Clive Davis because I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you hear the voice, you went and got the songs for Whitney Houston.
Right.
How come you
right.
can't do the same
right.
thing for this young lady? But, you know, it was a different time. You know, mm-hmm. Whitney came, you know, when Whitney was introduced to the world, it was 1985. So I guess, you know, record companies were more, you know, maybe they were into more of seeking out the songs for artists. By the time the year 2001 came, you know, they were so used to having smaller labels or artists already being developed or songs being there that they weren't really seeking out producers and songs anymore. So I said, okay, well, at least it's a positive. I know it's a positive now because Clive Davis loves Lettucey. Every time he sees her, he comes to her, oh, my God, you're, you know, incredible, blah, 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 blah. And then she's invited to his Grammy party, and he, you know, gives her a shout-out as a Grammy party. You know, multiple Grammy nominee. Let's hear it for Lettucey and everybody knowing her name now. So I
That's
look
amazing.
Back at that and say, look at how the circle, you know, how it comes full circle. I said, he recognized the voice, but for whatever reason, he wasn't, you know, it didn't give him in the incentive to push to get her songs to sign them to his label. And, you know, you and I know there are other reasons why. I'm not going to say that, but we know there are other reasons why he might not have signed her, but at least he recognized the talent. He knows her now. He's one to, you know, give her kudos, shout her out, you know. You know, he knows how great the talent is now. You know.
Eventually, you know, what I always say, Wanda, is you live your life in such a way that people who give you a no at some point come to you for a yes. And that's that's the reality of it.
It is a reality. I mean, last week, Lettucey did a Versus and Flow performance here in D.C. at the Longview Gallery. And Versus and Flow is a television show, you know, produced by TV One, and it highlights spoken word. And then they always, you know, have a musical guest, you know, amongst the, you know, spoken word artists. So Lettucey did a performance last week, and we know Kathy Hughes is the owner of Radio One and TV One, and she's one of my sorority sisters. I saw her at the event, and I pulled her to the side. I said, you might not remember this, but I'm the one who introduced you to Lettucey. I sent you her demo all those years ago. I said, I met you at a symposium at Radio City Music Hall. She said, yes, I remember that a long time ago. Lifebeat sponsored it. I said, yes. And I said, I caught you. I said, I went to that symposium specifically to meet you. I caught you coming out, and you really couldn't talk to me. You said, it was nice to meet you. You said, but I have to run. Write me a letter. And I said, that was the years before email. And I said, I wrote you a letter, and I gave you a whole list of artists that, you know, you'd never heard of before. And I said, Let Us See was at the top. And Robin Thicke was included in that, too, because my partner, Evan Krauss, was his lawyer at the time. And I said, I gave you Let Us See's demo, and I put it in. I said, and you were so intrigued, you called me at my office. She said, yes, I remember. I said, you called me, and you asked me all these artists who they were. And I told you, and you said, who's Ladisi? And I said, or her name is Ledisi. I said, and WHUR is playing her without even knowing who she is. They're playing it just because it's great music. And I said, you're missing out. And she said, I remember that. She said, oh, my goodness, thank you so much for introducing me to Ledisi. Another story full circle.
Wow.
Just, you know.
I wanna thank you for sharing all of this great information. I see that Mr. Daniels is on the line holding. So look, you know
Yvonne
how much
got
I love.
Started, so.
I love listening to your stories, and we didn't even get to one of the stories that I really want. And you know who I want to talk about.
Well, you know what? That's just the inroads for me to come in the next time, and we can spend a whole 30 minutes talking about that because that's another.
Exactly.
Story.
And just to give people a little hint, every week, and everybody who listens to the show faithfully knows that every week I have a Chaka Khan moment. And usually it's at the very top of the show, but I held it waiting for you to come. So
okay.
I got to play my Chaka Khan just so everybody knows that when I'm always saying that I know people who know Chaka Khan and I'm just one degree of separation from Chaka Khan, Wanda is one of the people who knows Chaka Khan. So I'm gonna play one of my Chaka hits. I'm gonna play Sweet Thing, and then we're gonna come back with Jesse Daniels from the Force MDs. But I wanna thank you so very much, and most definitely you gotta come back. And you let us know that anytime that she wanna come on this show, let's make it happen. And
I will give you her publicist number, and then you make it happen. Because I say this is my first of many interviews before I get to the Tonight Show and the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Now I'm putting it out in the universe.
Absolutely,
this is the first.
Absolutely.
So I'll say Javon Armstrong was the first interview that I did on radio.
I love it, and you're gonna come back and do it again soon. Thank you so much. Let's do Ain't Nobody. How about that? Yeah.
My mother's favorite.
All right, then. See, I'm on point. And that's Chaka Khan, the Chakaholic moment, live on Facebook, right? I mean, hear me on Facebook. It's all, you know, all this internet stuff is all the same thing to me. So moving right along, and I want to thank Wanda Tillon so much once again because, you know, she's just fascinating. Her stories are fascinating, and I could really listen to them forever. And we are definitely going to have Wanda come back. But right now I'm so excited to have Jesse Daniels coming on. Now, Jesse Daniels, along with his nephews, performed the group Force MDs in 1981. They were frequently seen on the Staten Island Ferry, which is where I first saw them in New York City. And, you know, they also sang in other locations. And you know their music. I'm not going to run it down for you because I know that you know their music. Somebody had asked me, how do you know that the person that's coming on the radio is actually Jesse Daniels from the Force MDs? Well, I'm going to tell you how I know. Jesse right now is going to sing a little Here I Go Again for you. So, Jesse, let him know that this is the right Jesse Daniels.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do it like this, y'all. Check it out. Jesse of the Force MDs in the house. I'm going to break it down for you. A little something like this. Here we go, y'all. Are y'all ready? Okay.
Can't understand the way that I am with you. You go your way. I better not stay again. No, not again. Cause girl, no, I can't resist. No matter how much you insist, if I should go away from you. But that's not what I want to do.
Y'all sing along.
Here I go again with you. Here I go again with you. Here I go again with you. Here I go again.
I'ma break it down for y'all.
That look in your eyes, it's no surprise to me. No, not to me. I've been through before, and still I want more of you. Yes, I do. Girl, you know I can't resist. No matter how much you insist that I should go away from you, but that's not what I want to do.
Everybody sing along, come on.
Here I go
again.
Here I go again. With you.
All right. How's everybody feeling out there?
How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm still doing my thing, you know.
I see.
Thanks.
So, yo, man, how you doing? What's going on? What's good?
Actually, I'm doing great right now. I'm bringing back that old classic Force MD sound. I've been doing a lot of rehearsing and staying to myself and getting my craft really, really on point.
Well, that's what's up. Focus, bro. Focus. So as I keep telling everybody, you know, the first time that I saw you was in sometime in the early 80s on the Staten Island Ferry. It was you, your nephews, your little crew there, and y'all would be on the ferry singing. When did y'all know that y'all had a good sound? How did that happen? How did y'all get together?
Well, actually, it started way back in the days. My sister Molly introduced me to my nephews. I didn't even know I had nephews, but one day she came by my house, and she said, Justin, I'm going to introduce you to your nephew. So I went over there, and I saw Stevie B, Rodney, TC, Melvin, the whole family, and I was like, wow. I'm like, start a group. The Jackson 5 came on TV, and I started imitating Michael. You should have seen it. I started imitating Michael when he was a little boy. And I said, yo, we can make a group. And so we made a group, and we started doing talent shows, and we started winning. But we was like, one day I went on the Staten Island Ferry by myself, and I saw this man playing a guitar, and I was like, wow. And he had a bucket down making money, and I went back home. I said, yo, man, we need to go on a ferry boat. We need to go on the boat. So we went on the ferry boat, and we started singing, and the people really liked us, and we was making all this money. Oh, my goodness, we were so happy. And, like, from there, man, Tommy Boy signed us up, and that was it. We was out there.
See, now, y'all had a particular sound, you know what I'm saying? Like, not just singing, because I can attest to y'all singing a cappella with no music in the background, just singing, and the harmony was so tight. But y'all also were at the beginning of the hip-hop time. So that whole New Jack Swing thing, y'all were doing that kind of original. Y'all just kind of made that sound up. Like, it was doo-wop, it was R&B, it was hip-hop.
Actually, we were the first group that combined hip-hop and R&B together when we came out with this one.
Let me love you in the sunshine. Let me hold you, baby, all night. Let me touch you in the moonlight. Let me love you.
And then we put the rap in there. Stevie D said, hey, girl, I want you to be mine. On my cloudy days, you bring out the sunshine. Let me hold you, girl. Let me squeeze you tight. Stevie D, man, we rocked it. And everything from there went uphill.
I'm saying, I'm getting chills right now just in the memory of the whole thing, you know, because that was my day. I was like a teenager at that time, and your music was the music. That was what was up. Matter of fact, let me play Let Me Love You. I love that joint. Hold on, baby.
Love you. you tight. Stevie V wanna be with you all night. Till the moon rises up to the fullest peak. The words I love you are the words I speak. Cause the way I feel so positive. You're the prettiest girl that ever lived.
And you're having brunch in the basement with Javon and Jesse Daniels of the Force MDs. What's up, baby? So, Jesse.
Yeah, what's up?
So, I understand that you're a single father, right?
Yes, I'm a single parent.
And do you have your kids with you right now?
Oh, as a matter of fact, let me go see if I can find one of them. Let's see if they're around. They're always around me.
Let's say hi to
you
the kids.
You know, we got the kids around. Hey, Justina, give a shout-out to everybody, Justina.
Hey, Justina.
Justina.
Hey.
A little bit to the left.
To the left, everything you own in a box, to the left, in the glasses, that's my stuff, yes, if I brought it, please don't cut, keep talking at a mess, that's fine, when you walk and talk at the same time, it's my name that's on that check, move your back, let me call you a cab. Standing in the front yard, telling me how I'm such a fool. Talking about I'll never ever find a man like you.
Yeah, that's my baby, Justina.
Wow. So you done passed down the singing gene, huh?
And then we got Bobby. Give a shout out, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
How?
Bobby, you gonna sing for us too?
They don't sing. They do a little. They try to do records from rap right now. Y'all wanna remember that record? Kick it one time. Yeah. Oh, they acting shy right now.
That's okay. We catch them next time, right? So we have a whole caller on the line that wants to say hi. So hold on. 8548, you're on the line.
Hey, this is MG. I just want to give a shout out to Jesse Daniels. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? Las Vegas.
I'm doing
in the house.
Fine. Hey, I just want to thank you so much for us. You know, we go back a long ways, and you're an inspiration. You know, you've been helping me out, and I really appreciate it. It's very rare to have a talented person, an experienced person like yourself, a legend, to be able to inspire me to keep up with my vocals as well. So I just thought I'd give you a shout-out. I'm listening in, and I wish you all the best on these new projects that you got coming up. And hopefully we get you back out west real soon, man.
Okay, my brother. One love.
All right, one love to you, man.
Yeah, so Jesse, I see that you know, as I was looking to research you and the fellas, you know, just to see what you've done, you've had a lot of accomplishments, a lot of number one hits What was that like, going from somebody, you know, struggling and hustling to make a dime and then, you know, being on national television? What was that like for you?
Well, actually, it was a great experience for me because I always had a dream that I would do it when I was a little boy. But at times it was getting kind of rough, and I thought I wasn't going to do it. But we never gave up, and we just kept on going and kept on going until finally we made it. It was a good experience to hear my music on the radio. That was like the best feeling I ever had. When they first played our record on the radio on WBLS, Mr. Magic was the one, Curtis Blow. Mr. Magic was the main two that really got us that deal with Tommy Boy Records.
Mm.
And so, and then, yes.
Then you got to travel?
Oh, we went all over the world, all over the world. Our biggest tour was with New Edition. Force MDs and New Edition. That was our biggest tour that we ever did.
Wow. And tell me about that.
Oh, man, it was great. It's like, I never would think it, but it really happened that we was doing shows with one of the biggest groups, New Edition, even though we came out before them, but they got a record deal before us. But we knew that we was going to do something together. And when we did it together, it was like magic. I mean, every show was sold out.
Wow.
And what really, the best thing that made my tour is when Janet Jackson came to our show.
Woo!
I didn't
now,
even
that
know,
must have been hot.
We were singing, and we heard the crowd screaming real loud. I was like, man, are we this good? So what happened was I looked to the side, and I saw Janet Jackson walking towards the stage.
Wow.
Wow. And then when we finished the show, I didn't even know, but Stevie D came to me and said, Jesse, Janet want to speak with you. So I went over there and I saw Janet and I was like, wow, we really doing it. And she was so nice and polite, she showed me mad love.
What did she say to you?
She said, Jesse, you did a good job doing my brother Michael. I said, thank you, baby.
Yes, you are probably the biggest Michael Jackson fan.
You know, I always did Michael Jackson even when I was a little kid.
You are the biggest Michael Jackson fan to this day. I recently saw some videos of you doing tributes to Michael Jackson. Like, how is it that you're still so enamored with Michael? What is it about his legacy that influences you?
It's just the way he sings and the way he dances. It's like I never seen nobody dance like that and sing the way he sung. And you always put feeling in his shows. And he,
yes.
And
we got
so
somebody else. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
what did you say, babe?
I was saying that it was a good experience. Oh, actually, I went to Michael Jackson's house.
When did you go to Michael Jackson's house?
This was in the early 80s before the Force and Beast came out. This was like in 1980.
Really?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't actually get inside. I was standing in front of the house.
But that's all right. Hey, you got closer than I got. I ain't never stood in front of Michael Jackson's house. So, you know, that's big to me. We got somebody.
They said they was looking at me through the camera. They were saying, who is this guy standing in front of his house? He thinks he's Michael Jackson.
Hold on, baby. Somebody else wants to say hi to you. 1556. You on the line?
Hey, what's going on, Javon? This is Miles Anthony, Righteous Music. How you doing?
Hey,
how
Miles.
Remember, you told me, you said if I had a question to ask Jesse B to call in and ask myself, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's right.
Jesse B, how you doing, man? I've been following you guys' career probably since, you know, Mr. Magic, when you've done it. But here's the question that I have for you. To my recollection, the Force MDs started off as the Force MCs. And the members, I want to say Stevie D and Mercury, were down with the Force MCs. How did the transition really come from the Force MCs with DJ Dr. Rock to the Force MDs and just straight up, you know, singing?
I'm going to try to break it down to you, not in a long version because I'm trying to keep it moving, but I'm going to break it down to you. What happened was it was me, Stevie D, Donnie, and we were singers first. We used to sing on the Ferry Boat. But what happened was we I went to California, and TC and Rodney went into the Muslim community. So Steve was the only one by himself. So Steve hooked up with Mercury. When Steve hooked up with Mercury and Dr. Rock, they was doing parties for us from Steve. So what happened was, when we was doing the fourth and seeds, I was in California, and TC and Colin was in the Muslim community. So when I came back to New York, that's when I started doing shows with the fourth and seeds. And then we got the deal with Tommy Boy Records, and then we tried to get all the singers back in the group when we first started with Steve and TC. But TC was the only one that came back. My nephew Kylo didn't go back. He stayed in the Muslim community. And that's when we put Trisco in the group. And then it was the Force MDs.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, because, I probably still have tapes from back in the day, cassette tapes of taping, like, the world-famous Supreme Team show with all the routines that actually have the Force MCs, you know, before they became, you know, you just gave me the story. But I definitely have tapes that I still, you know, listen to. And even if you go on YouTube, people have uploaded tapes of the Force MCs, which is, I've always been curious on how you guys made that transition. Also, just another quick point, when I was at the University of Connecticut, it was the Force MDs that came up for our spring concert. So I actually did have an opportunity to see y'all perform at the University of Connecticut. You know, I think it was back in the spring of 1988, if I'm not mistaken. Stevie Ray Vaughan was also on that bill, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you remember that show, but I was there.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Pastor Javon. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm going to still listen in for the rest. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, man.
No doubt. No.
Hey, Mr. Daniels.
Yeah.
We're going to play a little Love is a House right now. How's that?
Great.
Just remember, the doors to my heart will always be open to you. Look for the light.
hear you calling my name and begging, no, if I answer, things will never be the same.
Javon, and you are having brunch in the basement with Javon and Jesse Daniels. Hey, Jesse, how you doing, baby?
Oh, still in here doing it.
All right. We got another caller right now, 7861. I believe this is Ms. Mika Ray. Want to say hi to you?
Sure.
Hello.
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 How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sweetheart.
That's good. Thank you, Javon. As I was listening to your music, I just started thinking about, as a child, I was born in the 80s, by the way, 83. But I would sit, we would play The Quiet Storm every night before we went to bed, and Tender Love would come on just about every night.
Wow.
And that was the song I looked forward to hearing every time I went to bed.
I love that song. You're going to hear it today?
Well, good. I can't wait.
So where are you from?
I'm from Georgia.
Oh,
very small little town.
ATL, huh?
Well, I'm in ATL now. I originally grew up in Tifton, Georgia, which is a very small town here in Georgia. Not the country, almost. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, when I come out that way, you come to my concert and enjoy the night.
I will be there. I will be there.
All right. Much love.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.
Same to you, sweetheart.
And thank you for holding, Mika. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. So Jesse, I'm gonna let you stay on, Mika, and just hang out with us. If that's
okay,
cool.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
All right. So Jesse, what's going on with the band now?
Well, actually right now me and Trisco are solo right now at this time. Steve, Khalil, and Damon Haywood are doing a foursome D. And we're doing our own separate projects right now. And in the near future, we're going to all get back together and do a reunion for TC and Mercury and Dr. Rock.
Nice, nice. So So who are you working with, or are you just, you know, just starting out, coming up with some ideas?
Right now I'm working with Greg Hill, Delphonics, and we got a big concert coming up May 31st at the auditorium, 997 Tiffany Street in Bronx, New York. Come on up and enjoy a great show. I just did something with Coco. I just did something with Coco, her birthday party.
Oh, so from SWV.
That's what I've been doing. I've just been doing my thing, you know, staying positive, staying on the right track with God in my life.
That's what's up. And, you know, Jesse, as you create more music, just let me know about it, and I will always support and play your stuff.
Anytime, sweetheart.
You know, I will always look out for you. You know, that's just how we flow. Right now, somebody else is on the line. Want to say hi? It's actually my grandmother.
Okay.
So, Grandma.
Yes, darling.
I see you hanging on. You hanging in there? How you doing today?
Baby, you know I'm gonna wait till the end of the time, baby, with you.
So, would you like to say hello to Jesse Daniels?
Oh, it'd be my pleasure. Hello, Mr. Daniels. How are you, darling?
How are you, Grandma?
I know you go way back to the old days, huh?
I would like to, I can't hear too well sometime on this speaker, but are you a singer?
Yes, I'm a singer, and I'm a dancer.
Oh, I love it all. I've done a little bit of that myself.
Oh, yeah, you sing? You sing a little bit?
No, if I could sing, I would have been too much because I wanted tight dresses and long gowns and beautiful yesterday outfits. I would have killed them if I could sing. I have no voice, but I could dance.
I'll take it back for you, Grandma.
Oh, I can dance, baby. And I would like to say, meeting you someday.
And forevermore, that's how you stay. And that's why, darling, you're so unforgettable. I'm singing to you, Grandma, because I love you so.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you, my darling. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to meeting you at any public affairs that Javon gives, okay?
Yeah, you can come on out to the concert May 31st. It's all on the Facebook. If you don't know, it's Jesse Daniels.
Okay, my darling. And let Javon know to remind her to call me so I can come up, look, or whatever I'm supposed to do. And I love you. It has been a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, God bless.
You too,
darling.
Thank
you for calling, Grandma. I love you.
I love you too, my baby. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye, Angel.
Thank you so much for that, Jesse. That was a sweet thing to do, to sing to my grandma. And right now...
This is a good feeling for me because I always wanted to do my own thing, and this is my time to do it. So I'm just showing love to all my fans that supported me through all the years and my ups and downs in the music industry.
Yeah, you know, I just want to give you a shout-out for being a trooper. You know what I'm saying? I know you've been through some rough times. I know that some people have given you a hard way to go. But, you know, just take this with you. You know, God made us all to be unique individuals. We are all blessed because God put us here, you know, to do the things that we do. And tomorrow's not promised to anybody, but if you live positive today, then that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying?
Real story.
That's all that matters. And if you are living your passion on any level, you're already successful, and you are beyond successful. You got, you know, you got just so much talent and so much going for you, brother. So,
thank you so much.
You know, my heart goes out to you, and whenever you want to call into the show, you call in, and we're always going to take your call, and we're always going to play your music, and we're always going to support you.
Thank you so much.
Let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and follow you, like on Facebook and Twitter and so forth and so on.
Oh, yeah, you just go to, you can go to Jesse Daniels Facebook. Put in a friend request, and once I see you, I check you out. Hey, you can come on, join the team.
Are you on Twitter too?
No, I'm not on Twitter right now. I'm just on Facebook right now.
Okay, so everybody, holla at Jesse Daniels on Facebook, We about to close the show, but I'm going to close with Tender Love for you, Mika Ray.
All right.
And for everybody else who loves that song. Any last shout-outs you want to give, Jesse?
I want to give a shout-out to all my fans that supported me through all the years, and I want to give a shout-out to all my friends on Facebook and all the people that stood with me. I want to say God bless you and blessings to you all. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you.